Welcome to the Uncommon Church Podcast. Today, you'll hear a message from our pastor, Brad Carrington. We hope that it helps you to know God, grow strong in your faith, and do all that He has called you to do.
Welcome to YouTube and all of you that are watching on the live stream. This whole concept of Easter just kind of messes with my head a little bit because somebody died for us. I think we take that kind of lightly sometimes, and we don't really dig into the meat of that. Like, why did Jesus come? Why? I mean, we celebrated Christmas and His birth and Bethlehem and Emmanuel and His presence, God with us. But then Jesus didn't stay in the manger. He lived 33 years without ever sinning. And eventually He got convicted of a crime He didn't commit and was murdered. And He died. They put Him in a grave. His heart stopped beating. There's something about, I'm reading the Old Testament. I've just been through the first five books of the Bible. There's something really unusual about God that I'm learning. And that He has very strict rules. And just because it was 4,000 years ago, I think we don't think that God still has strict rules. But if you go back to the history, God says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Like, I don't change. So the rules of God from 4,000 years ago, from Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, that still applies to our lives today. Now, we're not under the law of Moses, but it's the concept that where God says, if you sin, blood has to be shed to cover that sin. If you sin, something has to die to pay for that sin. That's a heavy revy, bro. Like, you ever told a tiny little lie? You ever got mad? You ever flipped somebody off on 183? Josie? She would never. Maybe on 820, but not 183. That sin, a price has to be paid. In God's book of rules, something has to die. Blood has to be shed to pay for that sin. So when I'm reading all of these ancient texts about Moses and the laws and the rules that God's giving, God is telling Moses, listen, if somebody sins, they need to bring an animal at first to the tabernacle in Shiloh and later to the temple in Jerusalem. And they need to bring an animal to the priests. And before the presence of God, the priests are going to cut that animal's head off, pour out its blood, take some of the blood and sprinkle it on the side of the altar, and then burn the animal in a fire until it's just ash. This sounds bananas in 2024. But this is God's rules. The same God that we just sang to for 45 minutes, this is His rules. Somebody sins, something has to die, splatter the blood, burn up the animal. In Leviticus chapter 4, there's two kinds of sins that He deals with. He says, if somebody sins unintentionally, they sinned against God, but it was like, I didn't mean to. It's going to cost them something. They got to bring a goat, cut the head off, pour out the blood, splatter it, burn the animal. If somebody sins intentionally, like first degree sin, it's going to cost them a bull, which is really expensive today and in the ancient world. Cut its head off, pour out the blood, splatter it, burn up the animal. The point is, sin is always going to cost you something. Sin is expensive. And you couldn't bring like the cheap broken down goat or bull. Like, you couldn't bring the goat or the bull that had a broken leg, that like was missing an eye, that like wasn't worth anything. You had to bring a young, perfect, most expensive animal you owned. Which, if you really thought about that and you wanted to like curse out your neighbor next door, you had to think, is it worth a couple thousand dollars in my checkbook? Because at least once a year, I'm gonna have to take this animal that I love and I've raised and cost me something, and I'm gonna have to kill it and give it to God because my sin is gonna cost me something. Sin is gonna, in the ancient world, hit you in the bank account. This was God's rules. I don't know why. I didn't make up the rules. I'm just reading it and saying, I somehow have to live by the concepts that are in this. If I sin, blood must be shed. Now, I said, we don't live under that old covenant. We live under a new covenant that God created, and it came through Jesus, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But the writer of Hebrews, he's writing this book mostly to Jewish people to help them to transition their thinking from the first covenant to a new covenant that Jesus created. And he's writing to the church, the people that believe in Jesus, and he says, listen, remember how you guys used to have to bring an animal? You would sacrifice it, pour out its blood, splatter it, burn up the animal? Well, the writer of Hebrews is saying, ever since that empty tomb, everything changed because Jesus lives. So in Hebrews chapter 9, he says this, indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And this verse, if you're going to get something tattooed in Greek on your arm, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. He brought from the old covenant to the new covenant, and he said, no, fam, God didn't change. The rules still exist. If you sin, the only thing to forgive sin is shed blood. This was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these rites. But the heavenly things themselves are better sacrifices than these, because Christ has entered not into the holy place made by hands, which is a copy of the true thing, but in heaven itself, now to appear before the presence of God, what? On our behalf. On our behalf. So to recap, God has rules. And he says, well, let's recap that portion of scripture from Hebrews chapter 9. He says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Every sin, big or little, something's got to die for that sin. And what he's saying is the priests would do this on earth. But it's simply what the priests were doing at the tabernacle and at the temple is a copy of what's in heaven. Does that make sense? God had the tabernacle set up and the priest service, and then eventually the temple set up in Jerusalem and the priest service. All of that is a copy of what is actively in heaven. It is an earthly picture of what heaven looks like. And Jesus died and he shed his blood on the earth, but he wasn't doing a human thing, he was doing a heavenly thing. Because Jesus did not enter into the temple in Jerusalem to atone for our sins. No, Jesus entered into the presence of God in heaven, and he appears before God on our behalf, and he makes atonement for our sins. Jesus is interceding for you and I before God in the throne room of heaven. So what an awesome price that Jesus said, listen, I know blood needs to be shed, I know something needs to die. That's what I'm going to do. And you might ask yourself, why in the world would he do that? Because he's crazy about you. He loves you so much. John 3:16, we all know it. God loved the world so much that he gave his only son, that whoever's going to believe in Jesus will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Which means we would have perished because of our sins if Jesus had not come and died for us. So why did Jesus come? Because he's crazy about you. He loves you. He's not mad at you. But he does want you to come to this place where you put your faith and your belief in him, ask him to forgive you of your sins so that he can intercede for you, not in some earthly, in the throne room of heaven. When you pray and you ask God to forgive you, he hears that and he goes before the Father in heaven and he says, listen, I'm going to intercede for these people because I'm going to let my blood sacrifice cover them. And now some of you are like, listen, I'm not a big sinner. Like, I don't really get high anymore. I don't sleep around anymore. I don't look at porn that often. Like, I don't get drunk that often. Like, I don't sin a whole heck of a lot. Listen, all y'all sinned at one point. Everybody. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Which, side note, you were created for the glory of God. You were created to experience his presence. But because of our sin, we've been separated from the glory of God. But what happens when our sins are forgiven? We're welcomed right back into the glory and presence of God. So according to God's rules, from the ancient world to today, according to God's rules, either we die for our sins or someone sinless needs to die in our place. In a few weeks, we're going to celebrate Passover, something we do here every year, and we just opened registration this morning. So if you'd like to register for Passover for you and your whole family, I'd encourage you to open the Church Center app and go to the Passover Seder meal and register. It's a full-blown meal, and we celebrate the Passover, and we intercede on behalf of the Jewish people. And Josie's father will be here from Israel, and he will be leading with us that night. Now, I just double-dog dare you to be here for Passover Seder in a few weeks. But in the first Passover, the Jewish people were slaves in Egypt. And God said, you know, you remember the 10 plagues? Well, the 10th plague was going to be death of the firstborn. But the Lord loves the Jewish people, so he wanted death to pass over his people. So he said, listen, what you guys are going to do is you're going to take a lamb, you're going to cut it, kill it, pour out the blood. Take the blood on a paintbrush and paint it over the doorpost of your house. And when death comes to Egypt that night, it's going to pass over your house. Friend, I'm going to read you the verse in a minute, but I'm telling you, Jesus is our Passover lamb. And we were slaves to sin and death. But because of the blood of Jesus, by faith, we put the blood of Jesus over the doorpost of our hearts, and death passes over us. Come on, somebody. God is so good. This is the verse I referenced a minute ago. Paul is talking to the church in Corinth. Corinth was a city in the Mediterranean world. This would have been a Gentile city. He's not really talking to Jews. He's talking to the Gentiles, and he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, cleanse the old leaven. Now, leaven in this context in Scripture is a reference for sin. Cleanse that old sin away so that you can be a new lump, like a new lump of dough, as you really are, unleavened. Because Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the festival, but not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Paul is telling a bunch of Gentiles to celebrate the Jewish Passover because Jesus is our Passover lamb, and we have had death pass over us, and we are dead to sin and alive to Jesus. But do you remember Romans 3:23? Everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So how do these two things come together? Romans 6:23 says the wages, the penalty of sin is death. But the free gift of God, the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So whenever we sin, a price needs to be paid, a wage, a penalty. But because Jesus lives, we are offered a free gift. That through Jesus, our sins are washed away. That we are made holy because death passes over our lives. The next verse, probably shouldn't get it tattooed in Greek on your arm, first of all, because that's gross and I hate needles, but second of all, because it's too long. But I had to read this verse. Listen. 2 Corinthians, Paul's continuing to teach the church in Corinth, chapter 5. In Christ, talking about in Jesus, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are now ambassadors for Christ, and God is making his appeal through Uncommon Church. So we implore you, we are begging you on behalf of Christ Jesus, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, the one Jesus who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Paul is begging the church to be reconciled to God. He's saying, I'm begging you, I'm imploring you, don't die in your sins because Jesus loves you so much, he has already paid for your sins, the wages of your sins. He died in your place. And if you would be willing to repent and ask God to forgive you and put your faith in Jesus, he says, I will not count your sins against you. How many of you would love to have all those sins before Jesus not counted against you? Every time you sin, big or little, and he says, I'm not going to count any of that against you. Why? Because we have received reconciliation with God. The relationship with God as a loving father has been reconciled through Jesus. And now that we have been reconciled to Jesus, we're taking this message of reconciliation and he's put it on the inside of us. And he says, now I am making you, all y'all, ambassadors of this message of reconciliation. What does an ambassador do? An ambassador goes from one nation to another nation representing the nation they came from. The American ambassador goes to England and he has the house in London. He said, I am here as an official representative of America. What he's saying is all of you are ambassadors of heaven on the earth and you have one message. Jesus lives and you can be reconciled to a loving relationship with the Father. You have an opportunity, a job. It's not a Brad thing, a Josie thing, an Ira thing, a Josh thing. It's an all of us thing. We have become ambassadors with this message of reconciliation to God as a loving Father. I love verse 21. For your sake, God made the one who knew no sin to be sin, to become sin. Why? So that we could be made righteous. What? Jesus never sinned. He was tempted in every way. He was tempted to lie. He was tempted to get angry. He was tempted sexually. He was tempted to steal. But he never gave in to any of that. But at the cross, the one that knew no sin became sin so that we could be reconciled to the Father. So then, what do we do in response? That's why we worship. That's why we sing. That's why we clap. That's why we raise our hands. That's why we live differently. It's because we have an encounter with the love of God that he take our sins and he nailed them to the cross and he doesn't hold them against us anymore. And then he invites us to become ambassadors of this message of reconciliation. This beautiful man, Jesus. Earlier, we were talking about God's rules for sin. That's the whole premise of this message. And that you would have to bring your animal, your goat, your bull, your sheep, your lamb, to, let's say you're going to the temple in Jerusalem, and you were going to say, listen, me, my family, my children, we've done some sins against God, so we want to take the blood of this animal as a sacrifice, and so that we can live, this animal is going to die in our place. But that was individual. Once a year, on the holiest day of the year, on the Day of Atonement, the day of Yom Kippur, the high priest, so there were all the priests that would serve in the temple, the high priest was one guy, and on behalf of all of the nation of Israel that sinned that year, he would go into the Holy of Holies and make a sacrifice on behalf of all of the people. So the high priest was like a lawyer for the entire nation of Israel. And he would go before the Lord and say, listen, all these people have sinned, but I'm here to make atonement for the sins of the nation. That's the job of the high priest. The scriptures say, and I'll read it to you in a minute, Jesus has become our high priest. And he is making intercession on our behalf forever. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. So let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. But we have one who in every respect has been tempted in the same way that we are, yet without sin. So therefore, let us with confidence, say with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace that we might receive mercy and find grace in help for our time of need. Jesus is our great high priest. So if you are in sin today, if you are far from God today, stop running from him and instead run to him with confidence because he's going to take your sin and nail it to the cross. We have a great high priest who has been tempted in the same way that we have all been tempted, yet he did not sin. We are not worthy. Only Jesus is worthy. But because Jesus lives today, he pours out his mercy and his grace, and he forgives all of our sins. And I love that phrase, draw near to the throne of grace. I don't know about you, but I need to constantly, daily draw near to the throne of God's grace. Our high priest, the beautiful one, Jesus, has made atonement for our sins. And the Bible's saying, there's nothing keeping you from his presence. There's nothing keeping you from his presence. It is an open invitation. There's room for you at the Father's table. You're invited into his presence. You can stop running from God and run to the Lord. Flip over to Hebrews chapter 7. The writer of Hebrews is continuing describing Jesus as a great high priest, but he's comparing him to the ancient priests of old. And in Hebrews chapter 7, he said, man, the former priests, although they were many in number, they were prevented by death from continuing in their office. What he's saying is all the priests in the Old Testament, good guys, but eventually they all died. Verse 24, but he holds his priesthood permanently because Jesus lives and continues to live forever. Consequently, he, Jesus, he is able to save you to the uttermost for those that draw near to God through Jesus, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So the priests leading up to Jesus' time, great guys, but their ministry stopped because their bodies stopped. Jesus lives, so therefore he is our high priest forever, forever making intercession for us. Jesus is praying for you right now. And when we lift up Jesus in worship, he hears our worship, and then he's lifting us up in intercession before the throne room. He is inviting us into the Father's presence. And I love that it says, if you draw near, he will save you to the uttermost. That's such a weird word that we don't use in English in 2024. So I looked it up in the Greek. That word uttermost is the word panteles. And it says to draw near to God, the word panteles means completely and perfectly. So he's going to save you to the uttermost. He's going to save you completely and perfectly. You don't get a little saved. You get all the way saved. There's no such thing as like a level 10 super Christian. The moment you repent of your sin, you ask Jesus to forgive you, and he washes away your sin. He adopts you into his family. He invites you to become an ambassador of the kingdom of God. And then he invites you to draw near to the Father. He saved you to the uttermost, completely and perfectly. That happens because Jesus lives. There's a portion of the Passover meal where we say, it would have been enough if the Lord had done this. It would have been enough, Dayenu, and we sing the song. It would have been enough. For me, it would have been enough if Jesus would have died on the cross. If he would have taken my sins and nailed them to the cross. Like, forever to remember what Jesus did, it would have been enough. Lord, thank you for loving me so much that you became sin. And you allowed my sins to be nailed to the cross in my place. Lord, I thank you. But it was more than enough, because on the third day, he rose from the dead. And when he did so, he opened up a treasure trove of blessing for you and I can receive. We don't deserve it, but he's giving us his Holy Spirit. He's giving us power in his presence. He's giving us adoption as sons and daughters into the family of God. He gives us healing. He gives us deliverance and freedom. Because Jesus lives, he's making intercession for us today. Because he lives, he is in the presence of God and inviting us into the presence. Because Jesus lives, he lifts up our weary and anxious and fearful heads. Because Jesus lives, he turns our mourning into dancing. Because Jesus lives, he heals our bodies. He heals our minds. He heals our broken hearts. Because Jesus lives, there's joy in his presence. Every other god is an idol. Every other god is dead. Jesus lives. Come on, somebody, hop up on your feet. Man, the cross would have been enough. The cross would have been beautiful. But it's that empty tomb on the third day that means Jesus didn't just die for our sins, he conquered death. Because he lives, there is no sting in death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when the perishable, you and I, puts on the imperishable, when the mortal, you and I, put on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? The sting of death and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God, because he's given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are the perishable ones. You ever have like something that perishes really quickly? Meat. You leave a chicken breast on the counter for too long, it instantly perishes. The perishable thing becomes imperishable. The mortal thing, when we die, we're mortal. We're going to stop breathing, stop living. the mortal thing, because of Jesus' victory, because Jesus lives, we become immortal? Some of you need your own superhero movie. You're immortal. You're never going to die. The body you're living in is going to stop breathing and your heart's going to stop ticking, but you're not going to die. You're going to go from life to eternal life. You're never going to experience death. Because Jesus lives, there is no sting in death. 2 weeks ago, I asked you to pray. My sister has been fighting with lung cancer out in Delaware, and was just given, you know, a few more weeks to live. And I flew out there and I spent the week with her, and we laughed and we told old stories and we prayed together. And she's prayed before, but she wanted to pray one more time with her preacher brother and ask Jesus to forgive her sins and just to clarify that Jesus is the Lord of her life. And we had a good goodbye. On Wednesday, I was in a layover in Paris flying back from Israel, and I talked to the doctor. He said, I'm going to move your sister to hospice care. I think she's got about a week left to live. So Wednesday night, she was moved to hospice care. Thursday morning, I got a plane from Paris to Dallas, and when I landed Thursday afternoon, my niece had left a message that my sister had already passed. I was supposed to fly out tomorrow morning and go see her one more time and have a final goodbye, but she decided to check out early. So obviously I miss her, and obviously there's mourning and there's grief, and for those of you that know me, that's my stepmom, my brother, my sister, and many beautiful people in our lives that have gone to heaven in the last year. It's been a really crazy, hard year. But then I got a text from my mom, because long story. My sister and I had the same father, different moms. So my mom has been praying for my sister, and she's actually been discipling her on the phone for years. So I texted my mom that Michelle is in heaven. And she responded and she said, yes, she's in heaven. All that lung cancer is gone and she can take a deep breath in the presence of Jesus. Imagine the celebration. So, yeah, her physical body died, but this verse has never been more true. Oh, death, where is your sting? Because she went from painful life to beautiful life. She didn't experience death. Thank you, Jesus. But did you notice that there was like a warning in there? If we die in our sin, we're separated from God forever. We don't experience eternal life. If we die in sin, without repenting of sin, without having Jesus as the Lord of our life, we experience eternal death. So church family and anybody watching online, you need to hear my heart. Like the Apostle Paul begging the Corinthian church, I am begging you to die to your old life, to die to sin, surrender your life to Jesus, ask him to forgive you, become adopted into his family, let him wash you and cleanse you that he would never remember your sins ever again. You ever like do something dumb? You sleep with somebody you're not married to, you get drunk, you get high, you lie, whatever, you do something dumb. But you love God, so you go to the Lord, and you're like, God, I ask that you forgive me of my sin. I shouldn't have done that. Please wash me and cleanse me. I repent. Lord, help me to never do it again. Keep me from temptation in Jesus' name. And then like an hour later, you're still thinking about it. And you're like, golly, man, I can't believe I did that dumb thing. So you pray again. And you go back to the Lord. Lord, I just, that dumb thing I did, Lord, I'm so sorry that I just forgive me once again. The Lord would be like, tap, tap, tap. Boy, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, no, Lord, remember an hour ago I prayed, I asked you to forgive me, and I really needed to get that thing, you know, off my chest. He's like, I have no idea what you're talking about, because he doesn't hold our sins against us. He removes the record of them. You can't repent for a sin twice. He's so loving, he's so kind, he's so gracious, and he's so good. If you're here this morning and you're not right with God, if there's sin in your life that's separating you from the Father's love, don't carry that sin anymore. Let Jesus nail your sin to the cross so that you can receive forgiveness, you can receive the gift of eternal life, you can receive the adoption as a child of the family of God. The Father loves you. He's not mad at you. He's inviting you to sit at his table. In a minute, I'm going to invite you to pray. I can't pray this prayer for you, but I can lead you in a prayer to repent of your sin, ask the Lord to forgive you, to make Jesus the Lord of your life. So I want you to be thinking about that. I want you to just close your eyes, bow your head. Let's just pray for a minute. Father God in heaven, I thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your Son to die in my place, to die as my sin. Lord Jesus, I honor you and I thank you and I celebrate the cross and I celebrate the empty tomb. Lord Jesus, you are good and your love and your mercy endures forever. God, I thank you for the power of the cross and the victory of the resurrection. I thank you that you're willing to forgive our sins. And if there's people here today in the sound of my voice in this room or online that are not right with you, Lord, today I pray that they would be brave, put their faith and their trust in you, and ask that you'd forgive their sin. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you need to pray that prayer, it might be the first time you've ever prayed that prayer. It might be the first time in a long time, and you've allowed a lot of sin back into your life. Don't leave this place today with that weight of sin on your shoulders. Repent, surrender your life to the Lord Jesus. If you're here today and you need to pray that prayer, first time or first time in a long time, shoot your hand up real high. Just be brave. And just say, that's my prayer. I see your hand, and I see your hand, and I see your hand. Anybody else? I see your hand. Anybody else? I see your hands. Anybody else? Shoot them up real high. I see your hand. Anybody else? Come on. Good. I see your hand back there. Yeah. Anybody else? Good. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, I love it. What a great Easter. What a great celebration. Come on. Come on. What up, YouTube? I think like 7 or 8 people that right away, they're like, man, I'm getting right with God today. Right there between you and that screen. If that's you, your heart is pounding out of your chest. You're like, I'm praying this prayer. I'm getting right with God. Just shoot your hand up between you and God, you and that screen. Why don't we all pray this prayer together? If you believe it in your heart, pray it out loud. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I repent. I surrender my life to you. I die to my old life so I can live as your ambassador. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And I receive the gift of eternal life, of adoption, of your Holy Spirit, of your power and presence. Thank you, Jesus. Help me to live for you, to honor you, to tell other people about you as your ambassador. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, say amen. Come on, somebody. Yay, God. Yay, God. Yay. Wow, wow, wow. I love this. I love it. I love it. I love it. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to worship, but we're going to pray for you. So I'd like our prayer team to come down to the front. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or the first time in a long time, even if you didn't raise your hand, but you're like, that was for me. You see all those light bulbs on the Jesus wall? Those are people just like you that in the last few months have prayed that same prayer and surrendered their life to Jesus. And I want you to go pray with one of our prayer team and screw in a light bulb with your name or your initials on it, because we want to celebrate you. If you're watching online, I want you to text the name Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, to 817-405-2244. All that does is send you a little auto response form. Fill out that form, submit. We're gonna put in a light bulb with your initials on it, and we're gonna begin to pray for you and encourage you on your walk with God.
Thank you for listening to the Uncommon Church Podcast. If this message has impacted your life, please subscribe and share with your friends and family. And for more information on our church community, you can click the link in the description or visit uncommonchurch.tv.